basketball, Jones. Got a basketball, Jones. Got a basketball, Jones.
And a basket here. This place goes crazy. And one.
The game comes down to fundamentals.
Welcome to episode 16 of Storm the Court podcast. Joined by a special guest, guy who's making a round of the podcast world, my blogging dad, everyone's favorite new blogger, I think we'll call him that. It's none other than the Clem Report. Clem, what's going on, man?
What's going on, Riggs? Yeah, I feel like I'm doing like the Bristol car wash and I'm just going around to all the shows. Like I started First Take, Sports Center, you know, and I'm going around, you know, Sports Nation. I'm kind of hitting all the shows. So when you asked me to do it, I was thrilled. I said I've been wanting to do this for a while. And as a, I guess, casual college basketball fan, I was more, well, I'm sure we'll get into it when I was younger. But it's great to be here, and I've said on the record that your dad is like my favorite person in the world. So if I could be your blogging father, that would be like the dream, the epitome of what I'm looking to do in this world here. So
I still think like the ideal podcast would be you, my dad, and JJ's dad. just picking their brains. You can talk about money, the $3 bills with JJ's dad, my dad. In his own world. So, yeah, no, it's been a running joke that we've had. But, no, perfect timing. You know, obviously the Super Bowl ending yesterday. We're taping here Monday night. So now there's nothing but basketball. Carrabba's can talk all he wants about how it's the unofficial start for baseball. Get out of my face with that. It's basketball season. You know, perfect timing. And we are in kind of a weird season where last year we saw, you know, I kind of talk about, instead of rankings, tiers of teams. Last year you had, you know, Kentucky kind of by itself all during the regular season. Right below it you had, behind them you had Duke, Wisconsin, and Arizona. So this year we don't have that. I mean, it's a complete crapshoot. I think today there were seven teams that received a first place vote in the AP ballot. So no one has any idea what the hell's going on. So as you, like you said, you're kind of a casual fan. You know, you're a Siena fan and Syracuse fan. So what's it like for a casual fan where you're always going to watch basketball, but can you get more invested in a season like this or a season like last year where you had Kentucky going to the undefeated and just better talent?
Yeah, it's for me, it's more I probably can have an easy time getting into like a last season more than this season. I was a huge fan in the 90s and like halfway through the 2000s. Then once the one and dones really started and I really, you know, teams start losing their identity, you know, right. You know how it goes. It's like the coach is now the guy that you associate with the program, especially for someone like me, where it's like, all right, this is Izzo's team. This is Calipari's team. This is Boeheim's team, all that kind of stuff. But like Kentucky last year, I wanted to see them go, you know, undefeated, go all the way. Or, I mean, I remember when John Wall was at Kentucky and said, oh, this guy's going to be awesome. So, like, you're watching out for, like, these, like, super talents. So even, like, Ben Simmons, like, he's someone that I'll try to watch every time LSU's on. But all the other teams, it's like – excuse me, like a Maryland, I like that's the thing. So last year I kind of liked Maryland. I'm like, oh, this team's fun. And then I knew they were getting recruits. And so that kind of brings me over to this year. But then like you have a team like Villanova, number one in the country, right? Like I got more into college hoops last year because I was working at USA Today Sports and we had to watch like a ton of games for the app I was working on.
Right.
And like Villanova, I watched all their games. Every game that they should win by 20, they would be up by two with like 5 minutes remaining. And we had to like be on watch to make sure it was like an upset watch kind of a thing. And it made our jobs harder. And I was like, I hate Villanova. I hate Virginia. I hate Louisville because they were all the same team last year. And I'm like, that's who's number one in the country. I'm like, I hate this season. It's a crapshoot, like you said. But to be fair, this kind of like during the regular season, I like last year more. During the tournament, I like this year more because it's chaos. And those are the games you always like watching is when upsets happen and you don't know who's going to win. At least me personally.
Yeah, I think it's going to be I was talking about this, I think maybe a week or two ago with someone, where it's going to remind me a little bit of 2011, where there's carnage in half the brackets, especially early on. Like, I always say, like, you know, the first weekend is where you see the carnage. You know, you get the the 15 seed that makes a run to the sweets, you know, to the upsets of two. You get a 10 seed that probably beats a 2 seed and makes a run to the Sweet 16. But then normally it plays out in the Sweet 16, Elite 8. You're getting typically top 4 seeds in the Final Four. Just usually works out that way. 2011 obviously was a little different when you had UConn make it, you had Kentucky make it as a 4 seed, you had Butler make it as an 8 seed. So I think you'll see that this year, where, like I said, it's just going to be carnage the first weekend. And I think it'll play out a little bit, but it won't shock me at all if there's a 7-8 seed in the championship game.
And those are fun. I mean, you know, like, for, again, different strokes, different folks. But, you know, I mean, especially with, like, Butler, that was like out of a movie. Them versus Duke. Everyone hates Duke, so everyone's rooting for Butler. And like, the movie, the Hayward shot goes down, which I still
the
hate
game Gordon Hayward. In Indianapolis, like, 2 miles from Butler's campus.
It's like such a movie ending that just was like an inch away from actually happening. It's unbelievable that shot didn't go down. It's so sad, but
I still refuse to talk about that tournament, because that was the John Wall team that I think was, I mean, they're one of the debate of Kentucky is what team's the best. Was it last year? Was it D'Anthony Davis team, or was it the John Wall team? And a lot of people will tell you it was that John Wall team.
Yeah.
So that tournament is one that's just like, they never should have lost to West Virginia. And then I think they would have just boat raced Duke. That was a perfect matchup for them. Then they're playing Butler in the championship game. And yeah, it would have been a nice story and all, but that team was loaded. But that shot should have went in. I still like to think it did.
Yeah, it's like, I always say that the Mets won the NLCS and the World Series on Andy Chavez's catch. That was the end of the game. Mets win, World Series over, even though it was the NLCS, and we'll all go home happy. I hear you. And I mean, the other day when I brought up the thing, I was like, how did Kentucky lose to West Virginia? It was more like, I was going through all the players on that team, because they were talking about DeMarcus Cousins. I think it was when he had that 50-point game. And I was just like, that team was ridiculous, man. Yep. They had like 6 like legit NBA players on it. And you just really just – it doesn't make sense. But that's the thing about the tourney. You never really – these kids are all – like, you don't realize this because you see them on TV. These kids are 18-year-old, 19-year-old kids. Like, it's not easy just to get your game together.
That necessarily tournament's – while I think it's obviously the best thing out there, the best postseason, but it's the flukiest postseason.
Sure.
It's one game where matchups matter a whole lot more than football. You know, you're not getting the series like you get in the NBA, where it just takes one bad shooting night and you're out, which is exactly what happened with that Kentucky team. Like you said, you know, they had 3 guys that are legitimate all-stars in Bledsoe, Wall, and Cousins. If Eric Bledsoe make an all-star game, it would not shock anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
And those were 3-year guys. And then there just happened to be Patrick Patterson and Darius Miller hanging around there too. So, yeah, that's just one of those, man, where it was just like, I'll never forget where I was watching that game. It's one of those days that I'll never forget for all the wrong reasons. And I like to torment myself. And about once a month, I look at the box score.
Yeah, just to like cut, like sometimes I have to watch the entire DeSean Jackson returning the punt, or you know, I'll get some Vermont fan who will be like, hey, remember when Syracuse lost? And he'll be like, all right, the wound's been cut back open, thanks guys. So you just have to live with it.
So I worked at Vermont for a year right when I got out of college. I was working in their athletic department. There is a lot of TJ Sorrentine and Taylor Coppenrath around Vermont. But that was awesome because I don't hate Syracuse, but I was never, like, they were kind of like, I would root against them, I think, more than I rooted for them.
Yep,
so, I hear you. And it's not like I hate Boeheim either. Like, I kind of like how he's an asshole. Like, I appreciate that. I think it fits Syracuse very well. I think I hate that he just runs a 2-3 zone all the time, which is my least favorite thing in the world.
The 2-3 zone, and he was like, they were notorious for the cupcake schedule pre-conference. Yep. So that made a lot of people hate them. And before the internet was around to dispel any rumors or talk about other teams that did it, like I know Dickie V used to always talk about Cupcake City, baby, with Syracuse. Well, that, and that makes people hate
them. Leave New York. I remember there was like 1 year where like they didn't leave New York until like February or so, the way it worked out. Because their road games were at the Madison, or were at the Garden.
Yeah, and it's happened. Yeah, exactly. And it drives people crazy. And I completely get it. And it's funny how like you like randomly hate certain teams for really no good reason. I'm the same way about, you know.
Who are the teams that you hate? Who are the random teams that you hate?
That I just root against for like just seeing. I feel like there's like a, you know, I don't like West Virginia, and I like Bob Huggins, right? But I've never liked West Virginia. I just love the name Huggy Bear, but I kind of hate all the teams that he, like, I've always hated Cincinnati. I don't like Memphis. Let's see. I'm trying to, like, I don't like a lot of the Pac-12 teams. I don't like Oregon. One team I randomly love, and I don't know if this is just me or if this is, like, a thing around the country. I love Xavier. Always love Xavier. I always throw the X up whenever I pick him in the brackets.
I love the same thing. Like, growing up, I loved Xavier for whatever reason. Hated Cincinnati. Now, I'm not from Cincinnati. I live here now, but for those listening, I live in Cincinnati, but I am not from Cincinnati. I am from Jersey and Pennsylvania, so there is no connections to Cincinnati at all growing up, but hated Cincinnati. Love Xavier.
Love Xavier. Yep. Yeah. Yep. And I think I hate Purdue. Always hated Purdue. Texas kind of don't like either. I mean, you always root for like the underdogs and stuff like that. But I think there's a lot of things. Like, I never liked the elevated court, so I was like, I hate them, and I have to root against them forever now. You know what I mean? So it's just one of those weird things.
So you know, obviously,
and Duke, we all hate Duke. I mean, that goes without saying,
Duke.
Right?
Everyone hates Duke. That's one thing that, you know, my brother was telling me. My brother lives down in Raleigh. He's actually going to the Duke game tonight against Louisville, and I was like, just I'll send you a Kentucky shirt, like. Right now, just wear it to the game. Like I hate when people wear shirts and seats. Like I want to see both teams lose.
Yeah, one of those. Yep.
So, but yeah, so you are a Siena fan. So they had, I mean, obviously with Fran, they had a nice run where they beat Ohio State. They made it to the Sweet 16 that 1 year, I believe.
Yep.
What was that like?
Onions double order.
Onions double order. Was that like 06, 07, right around that time frame?
Yep.
So what's it like when you are a fan of a smaller school like that? You know, for me, when until the tournament rolls around, it's like Final Four bust. Like, if Kentucky didn't make the Final Four, it's weird.
Yeah.
So what's it like? I'm trying to remember what it was like before, you know, kind of being spoiled with Calipari of, oh, shit, like, if we win one game, I'm excited.
Yeah, I think I have a pretty good view of it. I mean, now with you have Kentucky now, and like you said, like anything, it's like being a Yankees fan,
right?
Where you're just expecting the playoffs as a Yankees fan. You're expecting the Final Four at the very least. Like, I have it where I was a Syracuse fan my whole life. Like, first team I ever liked in college was Syracuse football, Syracuse basketball. So I always like had a tournament team that was always in the tournament, right? So I had that experience. Then when I went to Siena, I have the team that just making it to the tour. So like that season is like the postseason for Syracuse is like the regular season for the MAC for Siena. So just getting a good seed in the MAC tournament, and then you're like, hopefully you can win the MAC tournament. And then like winning a game in the tournament is I wouldn't say it's as fun as winning the national championship as a fan, you know, when Syracuse won in 04, but or in 03, but it's pretty incredible when you're this little mid-major team and you're taking down legit powers. I mean, they beat Ohio State that year. The year they lost, they were the 16th seed when I was in college. It was the play-in game, which sucked because I think that was the first year of the play-in game. And they won the play-in game, and then they played Maryland, who won the national championship that year.
Yeah.
And they were the only team, I think, to cover the spread against them, which I always say, like, at least we covered the spread. and then... but like that Ohio State game, and I was out with all my buddies. I mean, we had all just graduated from college, so we were still like a bunch of animals going out to the bars, getting crazy. And it was just so much fun. Everyone was so happy. And when you're this little ragtag school with like only a few thousand people, and then you're facing like colleges that are like cities in themselves, just the student bodies. I mean, it really is it really is an awesome experience. The thing is, though, like, if you're just a Siena fan, you have so much misery. Like, you don't have a lot of great moments, where at least with Syracuse, even though they break my heart in different ways every year, it's like at least you're competing for the most part. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right. So one thing, obviously, with Syracuse that is tied with news recently is Louisville with the postseason ban, because they like to fuck hookers, and that's how they get recruits, apparently. You know, I don't know what to expect with that, especially with Pitino. There's a ton of tension between Pitino and the president that I honestly have no idea what Pitino knows, what he didn't know, what, like, with this whole decision, he was at it. I don't think he really had a say, and he did not want this to happen. The president, Ramsey, just immediately put on the postseason ban and said, okay, this is what we're doing. So Syracuse had that last year. You know, same type of thing. Postseason ban, no ACC tournament, no NCAA tournament. What's your take on, from a casual fan standpoint, of, you know, these postseason bans of people just, here, let me slap myself real quick so you can't punch me later. You can't punch me as hard later.
It's funny. I mean, I feel like the biggest reason behind it is you don't want the NCAA to start snooping around. Because, I mean, I don't want to, you know, I won't get into it. I think you probably would agree with me on it too. But I feel like it's kind of like politicians. I feel like every program at some point is dirty and a little, you know, even the best of them are dirty. And just like with politicians, even the best of them are dirty. And that's just
every
something
program toes that line.
Exactly.
And it's just how, like, I should say, every program steps over that line.
Yes.
It's how far over do they step? Like, there's some where, you take the little nudge over where nothing's ever going to get caught. And if it does, everyone's kind of like, all right, really, that's it. And then you have Louisville with just, here's what we did. And they are both feet in.
And that's it. And then that's just the stuff that they, you know, it's like you're looking for tax evasion. You know, you're looking to get Capone on something else. You're getting on the murders, and then you get him for the tax evasion.
Right.
Like, if they want to get you, they're going to get you. There's so much dirt there, and then you don't want them to really dig, and then you find out some really messed up stuff. You know what I mean? So this is kind of like if your parents are like upset at you with something, you just take the penalty that they give you if they're mad at you for getting home late, not knowing that, you know, you were doing something really bad, you know, like the night before. Right, you just take it and hope they forget the whole situation, and you hit the reset button.
Right. You take the missing curfew instead of, like, the underage drinking.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, I came in at 1 instead of 12. Oh, but I was also 10 beers in.
Exactly. And I happened to sneak in when you guys weren't looking, and right. Now I'm sleeping. So, yeah.
So it's definitely interesting. I'm curious to see what happens with this. Being down in the area here, you know, you can just see, when I watched that press conference, you can see, and I knew this beforehand, but you could see the tension between Pitino. He likes the AD a lot, Jurich, but the president and him, man, there you could see it in person. It was awkward. And earlier in the year, Pitino said, hey, if I'm not wanted here, I'll leave. So I'm a little curious, and I was talking about it this weekend with some of guys from Kentucky and a couple of Louisville fans, where everyone's a little worried that Ramsey's going to make a move to save his job and send Pitino packing. I said, my off-the-wall prediction is Pitino ends up at UNLV with his son. He's going to get fired from Minnesota and go be his assistant coach again. And then at UNLV, he can just send him to the Bunny Ranch.
that would be incredible. Oh, man.
It would be a perfect match.
That white suit was made for Vegas. Let's be honest here. You know what I mean? Like, that white suit was made to be in Vegas.
White suit was made for Vegas and made perfectly for Pitino.
Like, yeah. Oh,
he's
100%.
The only one that can pull that one off.
He's a vampire too, so sometimes he actually like blends in with the suit in terms of his looks. But anytime any Rick Pitino news comes out, I'll just throw the, you know, I just get bottle of red, bottle of white. Yep. Scenes from an Italian restaurant, baby. Yep. That's Ricky P for you, man. And it's funny because we both have a little bit of I don't want to say love for Rick Pitino, but I mean, he has Syracuse ties. He has Kentucky ties.
Yeah, like, I don't hate him at all. Like,
yeah.
Kentucky fans, that's a unique situation with Pitino, because you get the hillbillies from Eastern Kentucky that, hey, fuck that guy. He coaches Louisville. I can't stand him. When it's like, well, he coached Kentucky too. You know, the way I look at it is he came to Kentucky when the program was just, I mean, they're coming off essentially the death penalty, turned it around, got, and I say there's two recruits that saved Kentucky, and that was Jamal Mashburn and then John Wall. Mashburn saved that program from just coming down from New York, turning into, you know, Monster Mash, making the run to the Final Fours. I mean, he won a title. Like, his name's up in the rafters. So, like, I'm the same way. Like, I don't hate Pitino by any means. Like, yeah, I'll cheer against Louisville quite a lot, quite a bit. But, like you said, we both kind of – I like Pitino.
Yeah. He drives me nuts now because he just goes crazy, and I just – I hate watching his teams play. It's nothing against him. It's just his style is, like, just not fun to watch sometimes. But, yeah, exactly. Like, if in another world, say, Boeheim went to the NBA or did something, like, there's a chance – Pitino could end up at Syracuse once upon a time, you know what right. I mean? It's some weird world, and I love him. So it's like, it is what it is. And that's how you have to understand, like, as a sports fan, you have to just not be too crazy. So, and Kentucky, because, like, that 96 Syracuse team was probably my favorite team ever. Because, you know, you're younger and it means more to you and stuff
and
like
that. And you had John Wallace, who was just incredibly fun to watch.
I was at the draft that year, and I was a Knicks fan. I was chanting, "We want Wallace," at the draft, and then they got him, and he was a terrible pick. But, yeah, it's just a heartbreaker to go against that Kentucky team, which is, like, until these recent Kentucky teams were the most ridiculous teams. Was the most ridiculous team. Like, Antoine Walker was the sixth man coming off the bench.
They had – I forget what – if it was 96 or 98. I think it was 96, where they had, like, 9 guys or 10 guys on their roster – play in the NBA.
Yeah, because they had the 96 team, like 4 or 5 went that draft, yep. And then the remnants of the 96 team, like the bench guys, evolved into starters in the 98 team, which was ridiculous.
And then they lost the title game in overtime in 97. So,
unreal.
They were talking about, there's a stretch really where Kentucky could have won titles. Like, they lost to, you know, when they lost to Carolina, they blew a lead in that in the Final Four, to where they would have played the Fab Five. So in theory, they could have won in, like, 93. You know, Leitner still should have been ejected for stomping.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I haven't let that one go. So I'll count that one. So they could have won titles like 92, 93, 96, 97, 98. And it's just like, that was Kentucky before Calipari Kentucky. Like, it was insane. If you want a good look, like, kind of like you did today with the 2011 NFL draft, everyone should just go look up the 1996 Kentucky roster.
So that's some basketball. That, you know, that I can probably add that to the blog as, like, college basketball, as sports porn, because I feel like I've done that in the past and just laughed. Like, that is so stupid how good that team was.
And it's even more fun, like, looking at statistics. Like, oh, what do you mean Ron Mercer played 7 minutes a game? So it's definitely interesting. But one question I get that JJ asked me, and I get a lot, you know, you like the NBA more than college. I like college more than NBA. Not saying I dislike NBA or anything like that. I watch it, you know, a ton. But, you know, the question is always, you know, how do you like something where the talent, like, there's just a better product? So for me, I always get asked that because the NBA is just a better product than college basketball. Yeah, there's better talent. So what's it like, you know, being an NBA guy, when you go back down to watch college basketball, when do you really start tuning in? Like you mentioned, you know, you watch Ben Simmons because he's going to be the number one pick. Mm-hmm. What are kind of things you watch for as a quote NBA guy?
I mean, I'm watching. So I'll just go with, like, the ranked teams. You know, if it's not a Syracuse game, I'm like, let me just watch the ranked teams because I just want to watch fun basketball. I want to watch the drama. I want to see a close game and stuff like that. But it is the problem. I mean, I always make this joke, and I've become more and more of a college football fan the last year or two. Again, because my old job at USA Today, and then just from watching it more and, like, just saying, all right, like, listen, it's not as good of a product. And anyone who says, like, you can say the same thing. I don't want to compare college basketball to WNBA, but, like, yeah, it's more of a team game, I guess. But that's not helping your cause. You know what I mean? To get me to watch it.
I don't even know if it is. Like, I know the WNBA argument because it's, everyone always says, well, it's more pure basketball, which I think is just a load of shit. But I get it. like the whole team aspect. Like, you're not, you know, you see LeBron, and I think everyone thinks NBA is still like those like mid 2000s where it was just one on one, run 1-4 low, let your best player just go. Like, that's not the NBA anymore. When you go look at it, it's just like, and it, again, I guess they're kind of outliers when you watch like the Warriors or the Spurs, where it's just extra pass, extra pass, extra pass, bounce pass, dunk.
Yeah, the perfect pass too. Like, they threw that bounce pass because any other pass, it does not, the play does not work. It's just like people, and that's like the Spurs too. People who don't watch the NBA are like, oh, the Spurs are boring. It's like, no, the Spurs are doing stuff you've never seen on a basketball court before. You know,
like,
what I mean?
It's not 2005 when they played the Pistons and everyone's like, really, we have to watch 79, 77 in NBA finals. But so when do you really start tuning into college basketball?
So basically around now is when, on a slow night, I'll turn it on. Like right now, I got Duke Louisville on just on the background because it's on ESPN. I'll turn it on ESPN. If it's on, I'll just probably keep it on Saturday mornings or Saturday afternoons. I'll watch. It's really right around the conference tournaments.
Okay.
That, I mean, I love the conference tournaments from basically the start. And then working at home like I have now, and you just get the all day of college basketball, I mean, that's just incredible. I mean, that's same with baseball. Like, they need more day baseball games.
Yep.
They need more day college basketball games if possible. I know there's student athletes, but they won't be doing 90% of the stuff if they were student athletes.
See, I always think about this because when the season starts, you get those tournament, the preseason tournaments, and it's great because it's on during the day. You know, usually about 2 o'clock it starts. You got games in Maui and the Bahamas and all over the place. I would love the same thing. I would love if, like, you know, we joke around about, like, MAC football, but if MAC basketball made, like, Tuesday and Wednesday afternoons their day.
Yeah.
The problem is, like, and I brought this up, and someone made a good point. It's like, well, it's not the student-athlete part by any means. It's the boosters and the people that pay for season tickets. Like, they work. They can't come to a 2 o'clock Wednesday afternoon game. And I said, I get that, but what if you rotate it to where you only play one home game a year? Like, on Tuesday afternoon?
Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean,
right, like, you're going up against nothing at that point.
These guys are traveling, like, the Big East is traveling all over, you know, like, all, know, what it was or whatever. It's like, all these conferences are so big. These little conferences, I mean, it's like a day trip somewhere, you know what I mean? You just work out the academics of it all, and going from Siena to Iona isn't this crazy, wild trip that they're going on.
Like, get Eastern Michigan, Central Michigan on, like, a Wednesday at 2, and then follow it up with Siena Iona at 4.
Yep.
And then that leads right into your... You know, you have your sports center from 6. I think I just solved ESPN.
Yeah, you did. You can stop laying people off now.
Right. You can stop laying people off. And, you know, just quote Prez, they're going to steal my brain. But they'll go from 2, you know, go from 2 to 4, then 4 to 6, and you do sports center from 6 to 7 leading into your Duke Louisville game.
Yeah. And, you know, these guys know who the, you know, like, they do the bracket busters, you know, and stuff like that on Saturday. And that's cool. And, like, before the season starts, you probably have an idea who those, like, couple of good teams. You schedule a couple of those during the day. That's going to get ratings. I mean, there's enough people working from home, and online streaming is such a thing now that it's, you could do it. Everyone does it at work if they're not blocked.
Yeah, anyone, like you said, anyone who's not blocked, all they have to do is go to ESPN.com and literally hit a button and watch the game. Like, it's
right on the scoreboard. It's right there.
It's literally right there. And that's what I don't, going back to, like, what you said, you kind of get into it right around conference tournament time. I go back and forth where there are days I think the conference tournament season is more fun than NCAA tournament.
There are years where I had more fun during the conference tournaments than I did during the, like, you know, not like before it and right in the beginning when you're really excited just because it's the day.
Right.
But then after the games are all over, you're just like, oh, like, this kind of was a crappy year this year. And, you know, obviously the later you get is in the tournament, usually the better teams, the cream rises to the crop. But at that point, it's about getting off from school when you were a kid and, you know, watching the games on TV. And back then, it kind of stunk, too, when you couldn't watch all the games at once because they didn't have – it was not, bananas that they didn't have it like this.
In the Reeks household, my dad, since I was a little kid, we've always had DirecTV because we had to get the Giants game. So we've had Sunday tickets since I can remember.
Yeah, me too. But
my dad also ordered the DirecTV NCAA package, which came with every NCAA tournament game. So
Yeah, that's
the
right.
Rake's household always had people over during March Madness. Because like you said, it was like through the mid to late 2000s before – it was actually like late 2000s before you could watch any game just on CBS, TNT, Turner, you know, that whole network.
But, and whoever was operating it was like drunk, because it would be like, oh yeah, like we have Maryland, Michigan State, and they forget to like cut to it,
right.
And they'd be like, oh yeah, this game just ended, it was awesome, and you're like, right. How did we miss it? You had one job.
That was always the most fun, because you're sitting there, you know, and the best part was you had your brackets all printed out.
Yeah,
because there wasn't a website. Yeah, highlighters, and then like you're keeping score like on a chalkboard, and you'd be sitting there, and you're like, all right, like. Like you say, we got Maryland, Michigan State, and they'd be showing, you know, Duke versus a 16 seed.
Yep.
And it's like, all right, switch over. Like, the 7-10 game is coming down the stretch. And you'd just be sitting there, like, anxious, waiting for this thing to flip.
Exactly. And then, like, they go to commercial. They do the split screen. Like, once it got split screen technology, it was, like, the greatest day in tournament history.
Was it you and KFC that went and did, like, the... talked about like some of the old stuff and like the internet and things along those lines.
Yep,
that's another great one that gets overlooked is the days of where there was one channel that showed the NCAA tournament and you had to wait for it to flip.
You know, wait on CBS. You're like, please flip over from this like 35 point Duke blowout against the 16 seed to And there were times where it wasn't their fault, where three games would be awesome and they didn't stagger them either.
Well, like, they tried to stagger it a little bit better before. Because it was, okay, well, we'll have, like, the 5 minutes, like, they used to try to time it to where we'll have 5 minutes to watch the end of this game, 5 minutes to watch the end of this game, 5 minutes to watch the end of this game. Now it's just, well, I have a remote, I can hit a button and go over to the other one.
Exactly.
So conference tournament time, did you go to the Big East tournament a lot growing up?
Oh, yeah, so that, this is nostalgia here, man. My heart just got warm. My mom was really cool. My mom and dad, but my mom, you know, mom makes the decisions in the house and whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
She was always, like, she knew, like, I was a junkie, sports junkie, so I was always allowed off that, like, triple header day, like, the first triple header of the tournament. You know, this is back before they really expanded the Big East, and you would get like I'd always try to get for the Syracuse game, so I'd hope they played during the day because I like going during the day because it was less crowded. It was just a different feel, you know. So like if Syracuse and St. John's, Nova, Georgia, you know, like I go to the triple header, the day triple header, like first day that I could with Syracuse in it, and every year it was awesome. It was like from probably, I don't know, sophomore year of high school on. And then when I was in college, before I transferred to Siena, actually, I spent a freshman year at Seton Hall. And my buddy, who's from Syracuse, we went over and we hit like three different, what do they call it? Like blocks up. Like with the Thursday block, the Friday block, and the Saturday block, or whatever. And that tournament was my favorite thing ever. Obviously, the Jerry McNamara run is like one of the best runs of my life I've ever seen any of my teams go through. And I mean, as you're not even obviously a Big East fan, but I feel like everyone can admit that the Big East tournament was the best tournament.
So it was like, I grew up an ACC fan. So I would always watch, you know, the ACC tournament kind of held precedence in our household. But, you know, again, just my family being from North Jersey, it was nostalgic. Like my dad grew up going to the Big East tournament. So it was the same thing. Like, that triple header was sitting, you know, my dad would work from home those days. I would try to, you know, depending on where we were with basketball and everything, would try to take off school. Mom didn't care. Like you said, she... Moms are smart and they understand us better than we know ourselves.
Exactly.
And same thing. It was just, you know, Big East tournament was always on. And it was, you know, talking like my grandfather. It was, hey, did you see the Villanova Seton Hall game today? It was never, oh, did you see what happened out in the Big Ten? Or did you see the Big 12 tournament? You know, no one really cared about that. So you mentioned the McNamara run. Outside of that, what is your favorite game or memory from the Big East tournament? Big East tournament,
Well, would you consider the marathon game, the 6 OT game against UConn?
Yep.
That's up there. I was at a game. I was – so that's probably number one because I didn't go to the game, but I watched the whole game on TV. I still remember Diebendorf's shot getting called off even though it went in because it was on his tip, and it was, a really, shaky call. You couldn't tell either way. The McNamara run. And then I was at a game. I think it was the semis where Todd Bergen – well, that's a throwback name for you.
That's real throwback, man.
Hit a shot from the corner to win the game against St. John's that I was at, and I think it was the semifinals. I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure it was semis. And usually when you go to the Garden as a Syracuse fan, you were basically at the Carrier Dome because it was 90% orange. Right. This was 60% orange, and the 40% was red, obviously, because St. John's. And it was so good because this was the first time you actually felt heat in the Garden, being a Syracuse fan. So it was such a nice feeling just watching them win that game, man. Oh, it was such a – and the whole way down, you're just strutting your stuff, proud of the new cap, man. It was awesome. So I'd say those were the two best. That Marathon Man game was – that was nuts.
Yeah, that's one of those games, if you watched, you remember where you were. Even as just – not even a Syracuse or UConn fan. You remember where you were, everything like that.
So, Oklahoma, Boise State, that college football game. Everyone remembers where they were if they watched that game.
Yep.
100%.
So did you have do you have a soft spot for any of the old Big East teams besides obviously being a Syracuse fan? Or was it, I hate everyone in this conference not named Syracuse?
So this is partially, I think, because of my casual fanness. And even that back then, I live and died. The rankings came out, and when Dickie V would crap on us, I hated Dickie V for that day. You know? So I wasn't always as casual. I was always a big fan. I never hated teams. I guess maybe because a lot of people that hate teams, their dad went to Syracuse or their dad went to Georgetown, or they grew up around Georgetown. I was a Knicks fan before anything. So Patrick Ewing went to Georgetown. I was cool with Georgetown immediately. Yep. St. John's, I didn't really have anything against them, but I remember hearing about Carnesecca, and he was just this old dude. Mullen seemed a cool guy. He was whatever. And I feel, and I know some people change, and maybe some people hate Georgetown because they're Syracuse fans no matter what. Once the tournament hits, we're all one team, man. You know what I mean? You can hate the guy. You can make fun of New Jersey as a New Yorker, but once there's, and I hate using a war analogy, but, we're all Americans when it comes down to it. When something bad happens, we're all Americans. We're all Big East fans when push comes to shove. So maybe when they get to the national championship, if there's a team I really don't like for whatever reason, I'll root against them. I have a buddy who was a Villanova fan, used to always talk trash. So when they had that really good team with all the guards, I was like, you know what? I'm rooting against Nova here. When they lost UNC, I was thrilled. But other than that, I root for the Big East and I pick them in my brackets. They usually let me down, but I'm always cool with the Big East, man. And to this day, even I still have a soft spot in my heart for the Big East, but they are Georgetown has become a team that's just not fun to watch me. So I kind of just root against them now.
Right.
And Nova always just pisses me off again because, like I said, they always are in games that they should just win. So I do find myself starting to lose a little bit of that. And my boy Papa Riggs, I love the man. I hate being in the ACC. I don't even like the Big Ten, but I would have much rather Syracuse been in the Big Ten because it would have made more sense geographically. I hate Duke, so I hate being in the same conference as Duke.
Yeah.
And I just I don't like the rough and tumble Big Ten, but that's closer to the kind of basketball that the Big East was than the ACC is.
That I agree with that. That the makeup of what Syracuse does fits the Big Ten better, but the name, I like it. I like Syracuse and ACC more just because of the name. You get more the Big East. You still get Syracuse Pitt. You still get Syracuse Boston College. So at least some, and Syracuse Miami. Hell, Miami was in the Big East for a while there.
Yep.
At least you keep some of that, and then you get the Syracuse Dukes, the Syracuse North Carolinas. So.
We can agree that Rutgers shouldn't have been in the Big Ten. I still can't believe they took Rutgers over us. And I know people say, again, geographically, Rutgers makes sense. They can unlock the key. New York City is Syracuse, man. That's what New York City is. Syracuse is New York City's team, and it will be for a very, very, very long time.
New York City doesn't give a shit about college football.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a reason that there's not good college football in and around New York City.
Yeah.
They just don't give a shit. There's too much else going on. So I hear about that all the time, especially being here in Cincinnati. With Cincinnati getting screwed, everyone thought they were going to go to the Big 12. Or now they're waiting for Cincinnati or UConn to go to the Big 12.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, they're just – the American Conference is a mid-major. It's Cincinnati, yeah. UConn. And, you know, you got, like, Central Florida, South Florida. Like, no one gives a shit about those teams.
It's this, like, weird – yeah, it's like this mutated top-heavy mid-major. Right. It's very odd how it's all shaken out. But, I mean, you watch that Requiem for the Big East. I mean, it makes you sad. Like, yeah. It's like honestly seeing, like, someone die. Like, a beloved family member die in front of
it's,
me.
It's – man, it's crazy. Even things like Maryland should not be in the Big Ten. Like, that to me still, because I remember growing up, so my cousin, who's our age, grew up a Maryland fan. They grew up in Maryland. He loved Maryland. So him, his dad, me, and my dad would go to Cole Fieldhouse for Wake Forest, Maryland every year. So, like, I remember seeing, like, Duncan as a freshman versus Joe Smith. I remember seeing, like, all those guys. And it's just like, now they're playing, like, Purdue. And it's like, I don't give a shit about Maryland Purdue. Like, that does not make a move. Maryland Wake, Maryland Duke, Maryland Carolina, that makes it move. Like, I get realignment. I get it's all football-based, but it sucks that basketball suffered because of it.
Yeah, and that's another reason why I've always had a little bit of a hatred towards college football. Again, like you said, I'm not from the city, New York City, but I'm from the suburbs, and basically that's just the whole vibe here is right. We don't really care about college football in general. It ruined my beloved Big East tournament.
Right.
And when push comes to shove, it kind of is like minor league football. Everyone's like, oh, the pageantry and this and that. Like, you don't just pick that stuff up by being surrounded by no good college football teams. Like, you have to be either raised in a family that has college football allegiances, yep. Or, like, you're just not going to pick it. Like, the internet now is easier to pick it up, which is now why, like, being a Twitter addict, I can now kind of learn the stories and
yep.
talk to everyone and make jokes and all that kind of stuff. And now it's fun.
So here's actually another question. Going back to players, mm-hmm. Who were some of the Big East players that you just – were there any that you just couldn't stand?
Big East players I couldn't stand?
Or players in recent memory, because it seems like with college basketball, especially, that there are you fall in love with a player or like you said, a coach almost of where it's their team. But you know, a couple players that you fall in love with, like, oh, I'll watch Gonzaga because of whoever.
So most hated or most liked?
Both. Let's go both.
Well, Haron Godey. I hated Haron Godey because he was there forever, just had that dumb face. I'll tell you, my most hated college basketball player is a Syracuse guy. You'll see if you can guess it.
What era am I looking at?
The last 10-15 years.
It's not like CJ Fair, is it?
No, it's not like some random. It's Devendorf. I hate Devendorf with all my heart.
I thought it might have been Devendorf just because he feels like he's one of those guys. If he's not on your team, you hate him. And mm-hmm. if he's on your team, it's probably 50-50.
It's like a Shockey. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like Shockey, where if he was a Cowboy, I would have hated his guts. He was a Giant. I loved him. So I hate Devendorf. Like, you know, he came in. You're like, oh, this is the next McNamara, even though they had nothing really in common just because he was white and shot occasionally.
He's a white regard.
But again, like the Georgetown, like those Georgetown teams with Hibbert and Jeff Green, like I was like, I hope these guys do well in the pros because I'm a Big East guy and whatever. I hated Haron Godey. I love Jimmer. Jimmer. Yep. I love Steph Curry. Like, those guys I loved as soon as I met him. But, I mean, like, 99% of the country did. Right. But I was all in on them. I hated Redick. I hate basically everyone from Duke. If you are a team that played well and beat Duke, I loved you. The guy from VCU, Eric Maynor, loved him ever after that. Hated Greg Paulus, hated like the typical Duke guys. That's nothing crazy. I was back and forth on the Florida guys like Noah. I guess Noah, the other guys were all right. He was just kind of like the one asshole, but you kind of like learned to respect him because he enjoyed playing the villain. So
yeah, Noah's again like a Shockey. Like we always talked about it because I was at Kentucky when he was at Florida, and it was one of those where if he was at Kentucky, he'd be one of my favorite players ever. But
100%.
He just came in and absolutely destroyed Kentucky, and therefore I couldn't stand it. And like you said, he loved playing the villain. He still does, but he loved being the villain. So he'd get the crowd involved, and
that, yeah, and he was great at it. He was literally, right. He was great at it. He really was. And he, when he can go at LeBron, it was really fun in the pros. Like, he's great at what he does. And like, this kind of goes back to like you asked earlier. Like, I hate teams. So like, I hate basically anyone on Texas because I don't like Texas. I like him a little more now because I like Shaka, but I like Durant, and I was cool with Durant because I heard he was like a cool guy.
Right.
But like anyone on Texas that's good, I usually like TJ Ford. I'm like, I hate you because you wear those colors. You know what I mean? And just guys like that. So it does kind of tie in with the team. And again, like Louisville, I don't like watching them play. So I kind of just hate all of their guys that like come up through the things. And I've learned to really embrace Michigan State as I've gotten older. Like, you have to respect the team like that as you get older now. Like, Izzo's always there. Yep. They're always going to go far. Temple, I hated Temple as a kid too, because they were always just like boxy kind of a team, like not a fun watch and stuff like that.
Well, they had legit goons on their team.
Yeah, exactly. John Jay didn't care, man.
He threatened to kill John Calipari.
That was awesome. That actually made me like Temple a little more. That press conference makes me laugh every single time.
That's another one. Like, you know, I'm sitting in my office, and about once every 6 weeks, it's like YouTube, John Calipari versus John Chady. Sit back and watch it. Just, I'll kill you. And he's dead serious.
Like, and that's why I think Calipari's like, I'm in too deep right now with him, because you don't want to mess with that dude. He's right. Crazy.
Like, you can tell Calipari was kind of like, he didn't flinch. Like, he's like, I'm not budging. But you know, he walked out of that press conference like, get me the fuck back to Massachusetts right now. So, what's it like, you know, NBA draft? I think it's funny and fun talking to NBA guys and college guys and getting their view when it comes to NBA draft. Like, for me, I like it to see, okay, where are the Kentucky guys going? And then, you know, the names throughout college basketball that whether they came from nowhere, like you saw D'Angelo Russell, like, yeah, he was McDonald's All-American. Wasn't really expected, though, to be a one-and-done. Now he's, you know, the number two pick. And then, obviously, you know, what do the Knicks do? So what's it like, you know, from an NBA standpoint when you're looking at the draft boards with, okay, who are the Knicks taking, you know, when we have a pick every 17 years?
Yeah, right.
But, you know, what's it like for you as an NBA guy? Like, when come draft season, what are you looking for? Are you a little bit more locked in? Or when you watch games, are you watching it as, okay, I can see that guy as a pro, I can see that guy as a pro?
Yeah, so if I'm watching, you know, the good guys, then I'm like, all right, this guy could be a pro. If I'm not watching, like, you know, the studs, right, and there's a guy that, you know, looks like he could be, like, you know, you hear he's going to be probably in the league or whatever, and he's not like some blue chipper, you right, kind of remember that guy. And then if your team gets him, you're like, oh, sweet. You know, like, I always like David Lee. I loved watching David Lee in college. So when the Knicks got him, I was like, sweet. So I was really stoked for that. And now he was already like, he could have basically been average of the Knicks and I would have loved him. But he really was like everything I loved as a Knicks fan during, like, those were the dark days, you know?
So bad.
So he was like, Oakley's always my number one guy, but Lee really moved up because he was like the brightest light in the darkest times. He would have never gotten any minutes on like Pat Riley's teams, but I loved him. Pat Riley, Mason would have killed him in practice. Him and Oakley would have killed him in practice.
Like, legit, they would have pulled a John Chaney. Like, they would have seriously killed him.
This week on Simmons, he was talking to Michael Rapaport, or I don't even know if it was this week or whatever. And they were like, if the 92 Knicks played the Warriors, they're like, they would have killed Klay Thompson in the first game, and they would have injured Steph Curry for the series by the third game, first game in New York. And I'm like, yep, that's probably about
because
right.
Because they would have had Starks on Curry, most likely.
And the first time he went up for a rebound, Mason would have went low, and Starks would have went. Starks would have went low. Mason would have went high. Yeah. Boom! And he's on a stretcher before you know it.
And then out of nowhere, while he's laying on the ground, Oakley would have came like jumping off the backboard to like power bomb him. They would have tried to kill him, and they probably would have. They would have been successful till about game 7, and then we all know what would have happened there.
And, yeah, the typical Ewing would have guaranteed victory, and then they would have lost.
Then he would have missed a finger roll.
Oh, that was my birthday, so when that happened, I'll never forget it. But so for the draft, It really, again, it depends on the season. So, like a season like last year, there was a lot of names out there that I was really interested to see where they went because I had followed the season.
Right.
And there was just a lot of hype in general about all the
Canucks. Yeah, you had a great draft class last year.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And this is – I didn't know one thing about Kristaps Porzingis until, like, the day before the draft. You know
what I mean? He was just a big, goofy white guy.
You're just a big – he was Frederick Weiss in everyone's mind, you know, who unless the people read up on him. And I'll gladly say that I had no idea, and I blogged it, and I even said in my blog, I have no idea if this guy is good, but yeah. I don't want the Knicks to cake him because there's been so many bad busts, and we just need a good pick, and I couldn't be happier that they hit on him, whatever. So, yeah. So, but for the draft, if it's a class like last year or the year when the Florida guys came out, or, I mean, 2003 draft, you knew LeBron was going to be good. I knew I was a Melo guy, but even I, you know, I watched a lot of Dwayne Wade, who that was a guy I loved in college, and then he went to the Heat, and I had to hate him because I love that Marquette team back in those.
That's another one. If Keith Bogans doesn't sprain his ankle, Keith Bogans was playing better basketball than anyone in the country. Kentucky's number one overall seed, and then here comes fucking Dwayne Wade and Steve Novak and Travis Diener. Who I love, Travis Diener.
Yeah,
I was all in on Travis Diener being Steve Nash in the NBA. Like, I was like, he's winning two MVPs and in the shoot like 50, 40, 90.
Yep. But I mean, dude, Dwayne Wade was a bad boy too, man. Yeah. He used to just block people.
Yeah.
He was like the best blocker in the tournament. I remember that year. Like,
yeah.
He was crazy.
People say like how athletic Dwayne Wade was. Like, especially like early NBA and definitely in college before, you know, he started getting banged up all the time.
And the fact he still does what he does now just based on just his, like, his guile and his, like, talent. Like, he still is good enough where his, like, broken down self can still be an NBA player and make an All-Star team. But then in other years when it's not nearly as good, like probably this year coming up, I'll be like, where does, you know, the whole Simmons thing is going to play out in the tanking for the last few months,
right.
Which unfortunately we don't have our pick again, like you mentioned. So it'll be like, you know, who go, you know, it'll be more of who, and now that we could become a contender down the road, now that Porzingis, there is like a future, it looks like.
Yep.
It'll be like, all right, who does Boston end up getting here with the Nets pick? Who does Minnesota get with that entertaining team? They're so much fun to watch. And from there, it'll just be kind of like different guys that I've picked up along the way. Like, I like Hield. I like a couple of the Maryland guys, stuff like that. And that's really about it.
So, NCAA tournament, it's crazy to say it's like 6 weeks away.
Nuts.
What is your typical, obviously this year is a little different now with you being at Barstool full-time, but what was typical Clems, you know, it's Thursday at 11:30 of that first weekend. What's the Clem first weekend schedule usually like?
Gotcha, yep. So we'll start with... I'll basically go to the age of like 27 or so. Now I'm so much older. I kind of enjoy just watching it at my house and stuff when I was, you know, now that I'm a little older. But especially when I was younger, I worked at ESPN before I was at USA Today, and that was like for 6 years. And I did technology, so it wasn't like I was doing content. So we would basically make sure everything was working well for our apps and for our websites and stuff. And once we knew everything was good, the managers would take all the guys out. We'd go to the bar from basically like 12:05 to 5 o'clock, and then go home. And if I wasn't at ESPN, if say a year I was at another job, take the day on Thursday, always Thursday, sometimes Friday, go to a bar, just watch the tournament.
You're take all day off Thursday, but not Friday typically? Because I find this to be really intriguing of how people take their PTO.
Yeah. So I understand where you're coming from. Friday then becomes the long weekend, right?
Well, I like to go half day Thursday, half day Friday. Like, so, I'll work till 11 a.m. on Thursday. Take the rest of the afternoon off to watch the games.
Yep.
And then I'll get out with just one PTO day. I'll work till 11 o'clock on Friday and then take the – now, this is me now, too, like you said, where I'm watching the game with a couple buddies at, like, a house. We might go to, like, the neighborhood bar during the day just to get out of the house to watch it. Yeah. But it's.
I hear that too. And it does change. And again, I've worked basically in sports my whole life.
Right.
So a lot of times I was with a bunch of good dudes who are friends of mine, still are friends of mine. And we'd watch it on our computers. Remember you had to get like the pass to like get the waiting room. You had to like sign up early to get the streaming and stuff like that. So we were doing all that stuff and watching it. And it would basically be like we were off. It was like kind of like pseudo work anyway. But if I was in school or something, like I need to have the first day off is more important to me than the second day off, because Friday, once 5 o'clock hits, it's the weekend. And then Saturday is always go out, 100% go out. I'm out from 11 o'clock on all day in bar hopping New York City if I'm in the city. And that's just my entire day. And this year, I jokingly said to KFC, I tweeted him, I said, so can I get off on Thursday? Because that's St. Paddy's Day and the first day of the tournament, which is like, you know, it only happens every so often. I mean, once every 7 years, give or take. It's a leap year this year, so we got lucky how it lined up. It didn't miss out. But I like the first day and St. Paddy's Day. Like, that's chaos. And that is the day I love going out because everyone's just so happy and drunk.
See, that's where I don't like it. I'm gonna go opposite here, and I'm not gonna be the hardo of, oh, there's too many amateurs out St. Patrick's Day. It's I like the tournament so much that I want to only focus on the tournament. Like, I don't want it to be St. Patrick's plus. Like, I want to be able to listen to Bill Raftery. I want to be able to listen to, you know, when Gus Johnson was calling games. I want to listen, you know. I want Jim Nance to say hello to me. I want to hear it. I don't need to hear the music and all that stuff.
The bagpipes
like,
going on right. And everyone, yeah.
Right.
I mean, this is the thing, too, is there are some times where some places in the city are a little quiet on that Thursday. You know what I mean? And this will ensure people go out. And again, I'm not going to go to the crowded bar. Like, I'm going to find the good sports bar. Like, Saloon, go to Saloon. That's what we're going to do with this year. Like, I'm going to go there. And I'm sure there's going to be a St. Paddy's crowd. But everyone's just going to watch the games at their own leisure. You know what I mean? And that's the thing. Like, I like just having more people out because there's just more chance of stuff happening. I'm old. I have a wife. I have a kid. I have a house. So there's only, like, so much days I can get out. I like to just get all my fun in as much time as possible.
See, like, I should be like that because I live with my girlfriend, and she's already said so. We've been living together for over like a year and a half or so. So she was living with me last year during the tournament. And she said, you know, she takes vacation during the first weekend and just goes visits like her friends in like Philadelphia or something.
That's
and
awesome.
She's like, as long as we're together, this is what, you know, I will be doing this and you can have your vacation, you know. So you would think I should just take advantage of it, of like going out to a bar, like
going crazy.
And it's like usually like I'm just gonna sit at home with my pants off and watch the tournament until like Friday, and then I'll meet up with friends.
To each their own. And you know that there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I remember it was like 3 or 4 years ago. I remember Grantland used to do like the live stream where they had like Bill Simmons, and I remember there was no one else was off, and I was in the suburbs by myself. All my buddies were in the city, or they were, you know, they were having kids and they were not around to really hang out. I remember it was just me, shorts and a t-shirt, and like a bought like 30 wings and just watched the games on mute, you know, whenever, if there wasn't good announcers on, and just listen to Bill and Jalen and Rembert and all those guys talk. And that's really just kind of the way I do it now. It's like I'm not going out.
It is fun going out, like, you know, like that Saturday that everyone goes out.
Yeah.
You know, so it's the round of 32. When there are close games and, you know, you're at a bar where it's not packed, but there's a decent crowd there, and it's coming down to the last minute, those are some of the most fun times. When you just have, or like there's about to be a major upset, and you have like, you know, 95% of the people on one team just watching it, just going nuts, you know, cheering for Mercer over Duke. Like, that, to me, those are some of the most fun times when you're sitting there and, like, you know, you're high-fiving the stranger. Like, that's what I love about the tournament. Going out, it's like, you know, you get those casual fans that understand, like, okay, we all hate Duke. So it's like, cheer for Lehigh, cheer for Mercer, cheer for, you know, whoever.
Yep.
Like you said, I think it's fun going out with that, but it's interesting, you know, KFC has been on a rampage now about, you know, take the Friday off before March Madness and you know, St. Patrick's Day the day before. So you know, you go out after work, and I'm starting to find that I'm pulling like my friends and everything like that. Like, okay, what PTO days are you guys taking? Like to see, like to try to match up to see what everyone's doing. So I find it like intriguing, especially for those. Now my job's a little more lenient. I have my own office. I'm not technically a true Q monkey. I can kind of do my own thing. But for those that are really in the trenches of the cube, I find it intriguing to hear like their PTO schedule and especially with the St. Patrick's Day falling.
And that's the toughest part is as you get older, but you're still young enough where you can go out to the bars and get some stuff, you know, definitely hang out. Everyone starts getting careers and they can't take the day off because they have a really important meeting that Thursday. And you kind of have to make what works for everyone. And that's why, honestly, that's why I think the Barstool watch parties are so great is because, like, there was a year where I couldn't – none of my friends could come out. They all had important stuff going on. I just went out. I met a couple of the guys that we knew on Twitter. That's where I met, you know, a bunch of our buddies there. Yep. And everyone's a bunch of degenerate junkies, so they're all gambling. You know, Mikey and John, everyone's biting their nails. And obviously, if your bracket, if it's still alive. And, like, that is kind of why I think those watch parties work, because it's like you have your friends and then you have your Barstool internet friends, and it kind of just becomes one.
I'm so tempted. I really want to come to Saloon for that Friday watch party. Like, I'm like having like an internal debate, like, all right, like, do I really want to go? Like, do I want to sleep on John's couch again? Like, it's all very possible. So it's like, because like you said, it is fun. Like, and we talked about like in that group setting where, you know, and I find it intriguing. You know, I know you and JJ talked about it on Yuppie Junk Premium after we were all up there for Yuppie Brunch. And, you know, a lot of us were up there for the Kentucky game too. And it was just, you know, pandemonium where that bar turned into all the games were on. You had Duke, Utah and all that watching it. So it's like one of those where it's like part of me just wants to come up just to see that watch party. Because I've heard about the Saloon watch parties, like – I've heard about them all. Yeah, like there was one when KFC hosted one when he did the live podcast from it. When Duke lost to Mercer, I was working from home that day, and same thing. I was just sitting there waiting for like my buddies were working a full day, so I was just sitting there like listening to that with the games going on, and it was absolutely hilarious. So, like it was kind of like what you said with the Grantlands thing. And I'm like, damn, like I still remember KFC talking about that and being like, I can kind of see myself going to Saloon and seeing what that's all about.
Yep.
So we did get a couple questions today, and let me pull up one. Somebody wants to know, do you hate Wisconsin or do you hate Indiana? That was from Natalia.
Yeah, you know, Indiana is one of those teams too that they were always kind of like an ugly team to watch. So I hated them. I hated their pants. I was hot and cold on Bobby Knight. As of right now, do I hate Indiana? I kind of started liking Indiana again. I'm really just neutral on them. They really haven't been much of anything lately. Crean is a weirdo, though. He freaks me out, man. And the whole kissing the kid picture, I don't need to see that anymore. The internet needs to stop putting that out there.
It's too easy.
I think I might have put it in my blog at one time.
it's the Beyonce halftime picture. Like, yes. It's just Tom Crean, like, there's a rotation of like seven pictures of him just making. There's one of him next to the reporter where he's just got that blank stare on. There's the one from like Maui this year where he's got like the long baggy like sweat shorts on. And he like you said, he is just a weird, weird dude. And it's crazy to think that he coached Dwayne Wade.
And that's I forgot about that. Oh, Jesus Christ. But no, this is what I will say. I don't know if I hate Indiana. I know I love Natalia. She's one of my favorite people in all Twitter, and I truly mean that from the bottom of my heart. She's just an awesome Twitter person. She's an awesome listener. She's an awesome listener.
She's dedicated.
She's
very dedicated.
Awesome. A++. Love her.
So the one thing, you know, now that you're working for Barstool, you know, you've been associated with Barstool for a while now, but now that you're officially working for Barstool.
Yep.
We see it a lot in NFL where people start hating the Patriots because of certain Barstool people. There's a lot of Wisconsin basketball Barstool guys.
Yep.
Do you think that you'll turn on them? You'll go more toward them especially with the move coming up, where you'll get more of them in New York with you.
So as of now, I actually like Wisconsin because fun, you know, like they're just like, it's Wisconsin, right? Like, how could you really like, at least for me, I mean, again, I'm a casual fan. And I like seeing Big Cat happy. I like seeing Charlie happy other than the Yankees. Yeah. But I could definitely see, and like even my friends, when my friends' teams play, I usually do root for them. I'm not the guy who roots against your team. But all it takes is one comment or one thing that doesn't have to do with college basketball. Like, me and Dan had a debate at the end of our No Quitters podcast about Porzingis, and he said he's going to hate Porzingis. That is then going to lead to the Mets and the Cubs playing in like the NLCS again, yep. And then it's going to turn into me hating Wisconsin. So I could definitely see potentially down the road me hating Wisconsin. So it's a good call by whoever said that. I saw that question too. It was a good tweet. But as of now, I'm still cool with Wisconsin. Losing their coach is going to hurt, though, man. Yeah. That's brutal, man. And as someone who's losing Boeheim and saw the team without him, and then, you know, all that stuff, that's what college basketball is becoming. It's about the coaches and, you know, a couple of recruits here and there. So it may not be as fun to hate Wisconsin pretty soon, you know.
Now, you are notorious for food reviews.
Yes.
And the hashtag swish with do you refer to them as pigs in the blanket?
I call them pigs in a blanket, yep.
Okay, so pigs in the blanket. Now, what is Clem's usual, like, are you wings for the NCAA tournament? Like, what's the staple food to eat during NCAA tournament? You know, like, obviously football, yep. You associate with wings. What is it? Is it still wings for the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, for me, it's wings. The first, like, the tournament, it's thinking about it's being afternoon at a bar, beer and wings, because usually you can get some good wing deals with the beer deals that are obviously right there. And it's just one of those things that a bar food, wings are always the bar food for me. So yeah, wings are my go-to for sure. And I have a buddy who, again, the kid that I went to the Big East tournament with, huge wing guy, grew up in Syracuse, lived in Buffalo for a few years. So he's definitely had his fair share of wings. And we always, whenever we go out together, just get like 50 wings and just hammer them down and just watch the game. So definitely wings.
All right, so there you guys have it. Take off Thursday, go to Saloon Friday, eat wings, find beer specials, and just enjoy it. So now we'll leave. I'll let you go after this last question. Two questions.
All right.
Who wins the title? You have to pick right now.
I have to pick right.
I ask every guest who predict the title.
Man. All right. So I'm going to predict.
Obviously, brackets out. You know, you don't know matchups or anything like that.
I'll give you, okay, because I know I'm going to pick in my bracket already.
Okay.
I'm picking Iowa because my guy McCaffrey, right?
Yeah, and, that's right. Yep,
and going back to the Barstool thing, if you don't like Trent, you're probably an asshole. So I love Trent. We're the sons of McCaffrey, just like the sons of Uribe, of the White Sox fans, Mets fans, and anyone else with Uribe other than Dodger fans because we hate Chase Utley. I'm going to pick Iowa in my bracket. I'll give you my final four, right? I'm picking right. Iowa, and then my final four, Maryland, Iowa, Michigan State, and I don't know. Those are three of my four. And, like, a really random team. So we'll throw it out there now.
You're all in on Big Ten. You got three Big Ten teams. You're all in on Big Ten.
See, this is my problem, is when I do that, I then will remove a team based on when I realize you can't have too many teams from the Big Ten or one conference in there. So I am all in on the Big Ten.
You're all in on the Big Ten. Midwest Clem report now.
I have to remove a team from that. So just based on that, it's so messed. This is how, you know, the bracket brain works. It doesn't make any sense. Left is right, up is down. Am I going to really take Michigan State out of my Final Four? Like every year I do this to myself and I like kick myself. All right. I guess I got to take Maryland out, which was the team I was going to pick as a national champion just now if I didn't take Iowa. But it is what it is. The brain, the Clem brain is a disgusting, scary place. So that's my choice. Iowa.
Now, last question. What is one thing you'll be watching now that we're in basketball season, football's not around? Mm-hmm. What's one team or player that you'll be tuned in on for the next month?
The team is going to be I don't want to give you two answers again, but it's going to be Iowa and Maryland because okay. I haven't really watched much college, and the little I've watched has really been not a lot of either of them. Oh, it's actually been Maryland, not a lot of Iowa, but I'm going to, because I love France so much, I'm going to watch some more Iowa, and the player is going to be, again, Ben Simmons whenever I can watch him because there's not going to be many more college games right. with him in it.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, man. Like I said, you're doing the car wash right now, so I definitely appreciate it. Follow Clem at the Clem Report. Read him on Barstool New York. He's multiple times a day, obviously, now. Clem, any final words?
No, man. Just enjoy this stretch run here. This gets us, you know, this little February. This is, you know, slow in terms of sports, but this is when college ramps it up, man. So put the team on your back, Riggs. This is what you got to do.
I know. I feel sweaty palms every time I go to write a blog now.
So. Well, did I just say right? I just said Riggs there. It's Riggs. Riggs.
It's Riggs, but I'll take Riggs as if like you're calling me one of the Riggins brothers.
Yeah, let's say the right thing. I now understand when you said I said your name wrong on another podcast. I definitely said Riggs, but it is Riggs, and I understand that. Riggs. Okay, gotcha. Right,
because we always get Ray. If you say my whole, you know, if you say last name, obviously everyone knows it's not hard to figure out. Last name Reagan, but everyone always gives us Reagan, obviously, with the president. Yep. So, because it's spelled the same way. So, yeah, Riggs is the correct pronunciation. Obviously, follow me at Barstool Riggs. Follow the show at Storm the Court PC. We'll be back. I know we got another former player lined up in the next week or two. Got another Barstool guy lined up in the next week or two. So we got some stuff coming up. Heading into the NCAA tournament. So again, follow the show at Storm the Court PC. Follow Clem at the Clem Report. Follow me at Barstool Riggs. Clem, thanks again for coming on, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Okay.